Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today it is the wrap up for season two. And don't worry, here at ADHD Mums, we don't take breaks. We're way too intense for that. This season, we only got louder. And this wrap up episode, I'm pumped about. I did a wrap up episode for season one, and it was an entirely different energy. This here, I am so proud of everything we have achieved. If you have made it through this season while managing meltdowns, medications, late night Googling, and all of the school admin, all of the personal admin, all of the WhatsApp, Facebook groups, all of the Heya, the apps, all of the different platforms it takes to do all of your personal admin, and then at the same time battle things like having social media say to us, get off your phone, this is how it feels for children, you're ignoring them, this is how women are always on their phone. It's like, yeah, but also at the same time, we have to be organized and everything is on our phone. This is the push-pull of parenting is if you don't have a job and then like working like you don't have any children. Really, we haven't just survived the season. We have really shifted the narrative in season two. And I'm really proud of everything that we have achieved. Congrats for making it through the season. It has been heavy. It has been a lot. If you have listened to all of the episodes, gold star to you. There has been an absolute bucket load of content this season. Now, this season was about three times as big, three times as intense, and three times as content packed as season one, I think. Personally, professionally, in the community, I think this has been a huge year. At the moment, I feel like ADHD is kind of having a moment in Australia. It feels like the media is debating whether it's real still. Like, can you believe that? And then there's still the kind of the awareness posts around, you know, the system isn't built for us and all of this, you know, be aware that other people might be neurodiverse. At the same time, it's kind of, it feels like Australia is going round in a circle. We've been living it. We're there. We're parenting this. We are going through this day in, day out. And it feels like the world, Australia, is like really, really slow catching up. I feel like the ADHD medication world in Australia at the moment is a bit of a car crash and the government is nowhere to be seen. It feels like their lack of response is just them not wanting to engage. And that really, really gets me. We are going to get more into that later, but the ADHD medication world at the moment is a mess. We are parenting a lot of us without the medication we've come to rely on. We are not only parenting without medication, but we are also parenting children without medication. And we are having to look our children in the eye and let them know that the medication they have come to rely on is no longer available. We basically have a part-time job of calling around pharmacies, and it's getting real old real quick. The noise in the media has been deafening. I feel like there has been an absolute oversaturation of information. There are so many new podcasts that have come out on ADHD and neurodiversity. And there's varying levels of clinical experience within that. So there are influencers with podcasts about ADHD. There are psychologists. There are media outlets. There are journalists. There are just typical Aussies. And I just want to acknowledge how much information is out there and how overwhelming it is. And that at the same time, we really need to acknowledge that ADHD medication in Australia is an absolute crisis. A lot of us just don't have it. For me, season two, around about halfway through the year, started to really sharpen up. We started to get louder. We started to get more regulated, better resourced. And it was less about naming what breaks us, talking about awareness, but more about finding strategies that help to build us to where we need to be. And finding strategies that rebuild us around our brain, rather than just naming and being aware and being diagnosed. What is it like? How does it feel? Masking? Like, we've moved well beyond that this season, I think. Here's what was real for me behind the microphone this season. In January this year, I got all three of my children back at school after homeschooling one of my children who really kind of crumbled under the pressure of a private school. And that was really devastating for her because she really loved it there, but she just wasn't able to cope and that was her decision. Homeschooling was really tricky for me. It was a lot. And absolutely, it can be an option. I chose to rehabilitate her, and it was a rehabilitation process, and then reintegrate her back. My youngest child, I had looked forward to 2024 for like years. I even remember when my children were babies and I said to my husband, In 2024, latest, we will have all three children in school. We had built a house right near the school that we thought we were going to be at, and actually all of that completely crumbled. My youngest son had to repeat kindy, and my oldest child had to go into homeschooling. And instead of having three children at school and living what I thought would be my best life, I actually had two at home. I had one at school, and I also had to remove that child from the school that we were about to build a house right next to. What we ended up having to do, we had to rehabilitate my daughter, and we had to physically move away from my friend community, which I still really miss. It was one of the hardest, loneliest transitions that I've made in years. We moved on to Acreage out in a regional area to get into the catchment of a school that I still believe is incredible in the hinterland on the Sunshine Coast. But what came with that was loneliness, isolation, and I lost a lot of the friendships that I used to see day to day. You know, you'd run into people, it was so much fun. The selfish part in me that just wanted to have children that would go to the school that was the nearest. You know how sometimes you look at families and you just see that they just naturally move to the next thing. They went to kindy, that was easy. They went to prep, it was all fine. They went to dancing, it was fine. They joined a soccer team, it was fine. And then you're like struggling to do some of these things that you thought would be easy. And it's still really difficult for me because I do feel envy towards some of those families who are still living in that area, going to that school easily and having no issues and hanging out, having coffees while I'm up in the hinterland when I really love the beach. So the sacrifices that we make for our children is nothing to take lightly. And we do take hits for our kids all the time. I also had major surgery for lipedema this year. If you'd like to hear more about that, it is in the show notes. I also have another second operation coming up, and I'm still showing up every single episode, but it has been incredibly, incredibly difficult. If you understand anything about lipedema, it is an incredibly painful operation. I'm a bit of a trooper. I'd say I'm quite a hardy person. I cooked roast dinners after having C-sections, but I tell you what, this lipedema operation, it is very, very, very painful. That was really difficult. I also felt a lot of pressure at home. I felt like moving out onto Acreage, I did become quite consumed by the podcast. Being isolated from friends didn't help, and I really put my head into work. I had some medication hiccups where I tried Intuive, which I realized made me so focused that I become quite autistic. So I am autistic and I have ADHD. I think the ADHD medication I was on was probably a bit too heavy. And so then I realized that my autistic self was showing up with just overwhelm and anxiety and stress. And I ended up going off the Intuive and the Vyvanse. Now I just take the short-acting dexamphetamine. I also tried an antidepressant, which I had not been on an antidepressant because of a very bad experience with SSRIs in my teens. I had been very against antidepressants for myself. I would always tell other people to try it and that absolutely they make a difference. I would encourage others, but yet I wouldn't allow myself. I felt like that meant something about me that I needed it. And I know a lot of people feel that. I tried an antidepressant, which is called agomelatine. It is not an SSRI. It works with the melatonin receptors. I can say honestly, it's been life-changing. Now, just because I take that medication doesn't mean that it is a great medication and everyone should take it. Every single body is different. So please don't think dexamphetamine and agomelatine is now what you need to take because we have different bodies and that may not work for you. But I tried an antidepressant, played around with my medication, and I really did find that to be life-changing. Really, I did, and I wished I had have done it earlier. If you'd like to hear more about my experience into ADHD medication, unveiling those autistic traits, I will put that episode into the show notes as well. I also really tackled ARFID head-on in my home. I have 2 out of 3 children with ARFID. If you'd like to know more about that, I will put that into the show notes as well. Feeding my children is incredibly difficult. It feels like it's quite limiting in what I can do, whether we can go away for the weekend, whether we can go away for the day, even if I just want to go out for lunch, like a picnic, like I'm not talking about going out for lunch in a restaurant, I can't even necessarily take the foods with me that my children will eat. So often we would do that and we'd have fish and chips or something, and then I'd have to come home and make 3 children lunch or 3 children dinner because they wouldn't eat the food that was available. And that's been really draining, to be honest. So ARFID was a real area of focus as well in season 2. I was recognized out on the street in season 2, which was really funny. The first time I was recognized publicly, I was actually on my bike with my youngest child And someone came up to me and said, oh, are you Jane? And I said, yes, because I had no idea. I thought she was just talking about maybe she'd see me at school. And she said to me, oh, I know your podcast and this must be your son and hello. And I was so awkward and weird. I actually rode my bike right into a bush and she watched me. And then I stacked it with my child in the seat, which was pretty funny. I also got spotted out in Big W when I lost one of my children and my trolley at Big W. And then I was calling out my child's name and trying to find my trolley and then saying, oh my God, can someone help me? And then actually, how bizarre, someone who listens to the podcast came and helped me. And then we laughed so hard. And my child that was with me looked at me like, why would somebody listen to her podcast? My mum's so boring, which was hilarious. So that was pretty funny being recognized out on the street. I made a decision in August 24 that I wanted to actually get more serious with the podcast. And I really wanted to get into that top 5 mental health podcasts in Australia. Now, since I've made that decision, I have hired someone that I really trust to help me in the business. And since September 24, we have been in the top 10 every single week. We have been in the top 4, top 5 most of the time in the majority. And we've hit number 2 a couple of times in Australia as well. We also made the decision to release twice a week episodes, which was awesome. And thank you so much for all of your support during the season. We have absolutely got so much exposure and Apple Podcasts have been suggesting this as a great podcast to listen to, which has been awesome. This podcast really isn't made in a studio. It is made in the in-between moments, you know, between school, pickup, all of the admin, the NDIS, the GP, the therapy. It is made in all of those in-between moments. And so it can be really tricky to get a lot of that stuff done. If you're not aware, ADHD Mums is a nonprofit. I donate a lot of the profits back into women. So for example, if you are a woman and you hit 18, 19, you can't go into the pediatrician, into the public system. You are then deemed an adult and you are in the public system as an adult. As an adult, there is really, I mean, the wait list for the public system in this system is incredibly long if you are even seen at all. So sometimes the psychiatrists are not always well-versed in these areas of masking, internalized women, female ADHD and neurodiversity. So sometimes you can go through, make all those weights and then get turned away at the end. So I do donate some of the profits that I make back into getting women who don't have any ability to get seen into getting through that assessment process privately. And the way that I've done that is to start releasing guides and books, which I started doing in August 24. So it really put me out of my comfort zone to monetize the podcast in any way. I always had a problem with having a membership or like a subscription part of ADHD Mums because I know the cost of living is so high and so many people struggle. It's so not about that. But I really wanted to cover costs to help myself. So for example, obviously I talk a lot about setting up your brain around your life. I'm awful at doing a lot of the production, the reels, the social media. And whilst I'm telling everyone else to get help and do what they're good at and what they love, I've really had to outsource a lot of the things that I'm terrible at and I don't enjoy doing. And that, of course, costs money. So monetizing has been something I've really had to come to peace with. One of the things that I think I've done that's been awesome is release the $10 kits that go with each episode. So right at the end of the year, a lot of the feedback I was receiving was that the women wanted to know what now, what after diagnosis. And my 2IC, who's awesome, said to me, we need more practical stuff. What do women do? That's what they want. And that's the feedback we were getting. So what I've noticed is a lot of women will listen to the episodes while they're washing up, they're driving, they don't have access to a pen and paper, they can't write things down. We don't have a great working memory, a lot of us. So what do we do with all the information and all the practical takeaways that I'm delivering in the solos? So the $10 kit is basically all the takeaways of the episode with forms, things to fill out, workbooks. So if there is a topic that you really enjoy and you want to know more about, you want to actually delve into it, you can buy the $10 kit, which is in the show notes. I love this because it's not a subscription. You can pick and choose the topics that you love. There is no sign up or subscription. I do have a little bit of an issue with the ADHD tax and subscription model because I kind of feel like it's taking advantage of ADHD a little bit in that, you know, how many of us have got subscriptions to things we don't use? And there's a free trial and then we know that once we put our credit card in, we're never going to unrelease it. And then that makes me feel a bit weird. So the $10 kit, I really loved that. I also, as a part of this, released a schoolyard pickup guide, which is basically a lot of those social skills, relationship stuff that women talk about. What I really enjoyed writing about that guide was talking about neurotypical people and neurodiverse people and how we're different and how our communication is different and how to talk to a neurotypical person and why they find us sometimes so offensive in what we say and sometimes too intense. I really enjoyed writing that, and I've written some great guides, particularly the medication guide goes awesome. If you'd love to grab any of these guides, I also redid the website where it's not so overwhelming. So when you jump onto the website, you can see where you're at. So are you, you know, still kind of seeing the signs, wondering if you have ADHD? This is all of the resources, free and paid, that you can access, and all the podcast episodes. Okay, great. You've been diagnosed or you're preparing for diagnosis. What next? And all of that is packaged up so it's not so overwhelming. I also have no real interest in being seen or being famous or being known, but I do this absolutely for passion. And also, I want to acknowledge that a lot of us are in this space because we were that child. So I was that highly internalized little girl, and I had a stable upbringing, and I've spent a lot of my life wondering about my mental health. Why did I have a breakdown at such a young age? And really, this podcast has been, in some ways, parenting myself again, healing myself again. And of course, I'm raising my own little mini me who pushes my buttons, and I want the world to be better for her. So personally, there's been a lot going on behind the mic, and I really appreciate all of your support. There has been days where I've woken up and thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore, to be honest. And it's bizarre because often right at that moment, I get a couple of emails or DMs and they just bring me back to the reason why. And I really want to thank the community because it is incredibly supportive. I am by far the most proud of the Facebook community. It is such a supportive space. I moderate it personally myself. If you would like to be part of the Facebook community, it is in the show notes. I do an Ask Jane Anything every Wednesday. And I so encourage you to tag me and go in on that thread because I go into that thread and answer all of the questions. Now, in that community, we have had some really highly emotive subjects brought up. We have got mum hack posts that go in and, you know, there's everybody does their house differently. Everyone has different levels of cleanliness and organization. There is zero judgment, which I love. Also, there's been a lot of media exposure around some really tricky topics. I've noticed in a lot of the other ADHD groups, there can be a lot of attacking, a lot of anger, a lot of nitpicking, judgment, not in the ADHD mums group. And I'm so proud of the way that we show up and support each other. And I really want to acknowledge the people in that group for being absolutely awesome. In season two, we really tackled some heavy themes. This wasn't fluff. We really moved beyond, you know, the checklists of symptoms or traits and the, is it ADHD, and some of that more surface level information that a lot of people are still delivering. And some people are still at that level because everyone finds out about things differently. What I've really noticed with this audience is that it's highly educated, and I think you guys have evolved and grown with me. The people who have come in later have gone back to season one, I can see in the analytics, and learn all of the content because, of course, we go in hard and heavy. And a lot of people will email me and say, I've listened to every single episode over the last 3 weeks. And I'm like, wow. So if you are coming in now, just go back to season one and catch up. If you look into my lists, into the Get Started on the website, you can see the really important episodes that people loved that are really important for your learning journey. This season, we really talked about school a lot and burnout. We also touched on perimenopause hormones, PMS, and that got huge, huge traction amongst the community. We also looked at chronic health, which was great. And there's so much more information there that I want to look at. We really looked at teen struggles, routines that collapse, unhealthy habits. We really moved out of the diagnosis and into daily function. We also talked a lot about rage, mental load, social battery death. And we really went into some of those heavier topics that are way beyond masking and, you know, some of the more simple concepts into some of those more complex areas, and no one turned away. I looked at the analytics and the consumption of the episodes, and tell you what, everyone is there with me, which I love. So we've really moved beyond. I would say that season one was more about those validating stories from Aussie mums where you can see yourself in the story and practically what do we do I felt has really been where we're moving more into. I don't feel that in season three we're going to do that many validating stories from Aussie mums. I feel like that is there in season one if you'd love to go back. We really need to move forward. And if you'd like to know where we're headed for season three, check out next week's episode. It is going to explain where we are going in season three. Really, in season two, I felt like in August, I made that decision to really get serious. And I hired the 2IC that I spoke about, who gave me some really great feedback around where we needed to move to. Around Christmas, I did a lot of feedback and I found from the community that a lot of you were really wanting those strong, practical episodes. And that's where we really moved to around Christmas in 2024. Now, I felt like when we moved beyond the basics into the practical, it actually was really tricky on my end to do because it made me really think about, well, what should we do after the diagnosis? What if, let's say, for example, I mean, because medication is not it, right? Wouldn't it be great if you were just like healed from just one ADHD pill? And that doesn't work. What we know from the research is that taking the medication is great and absolutely it helps. It makes it easier to implement the things that we need to implement. So it can be really tricky without medication, particularly if you can't get diagnosed or you can't take the medication because of, let's say, physical reason you can't take the medication or it didn't work for you. What can you implement strategy-wise to move forward? And if you are taking medication, what can you use the medication to do to change? So for example, let's say you're driving in a car. I would say if you have ADHD and you're driving around without ADHD medication, you are driving like a manual car. You can get to the destination, but it's more draining. It's heavier on your body. It's more exhausting driving a manual car, absolutely, and more tricky. You have to manually in your mind go through the gear changes. And if you get it wrong, you get that in your car. Whereas if you are on ADHD medication or you're neurotypical, I feel like you are more easily able to, with your executive function, just drive from A to B like an automatic car. You don't necessarily have to manually sort through everything so manually or so, it doesn't feel so hard and complex. You can sort through the information. You've got that executive function. It's happening automatically. But if you move from a manual car into an automatic, you actually have to drive to a different place. Just because you've got an automatic car doesn't mean that you just drive to the same place that what you were doing with a manual car is just easier. You actually have to make changes. And for me, having ADHD medication on board has made it easier for me to make those practical changes. Writing those down, getting really clear on what changes I think with my clinical experience, lived experience, and all of the emails and stories I've seen, what changes do I think work best has been really tricky. So I've put a lot into those solo episodes. The structure at the moment is a guest episode on the Tuesday and a solo on the Thursday. And I think that has worked really well. Let's get to some of the lowlights because I want to be really honest about some of the lows in season two. For me, I really felt like the DV miniseries that I did in season two was a real lowlight. I really believed in that DV miniseries and I probably did it because of an emotional personal reason of someone that I knew that was going through a DV relationship and they had left that DV relationship and I had supported her not knowing really that she was in a DV relationship. It was coercive control and I could see that things were bad, but I honestly did not know what she was going through and that came to light later. I made that series, I think probably is an emotional reaction to that situation in my personal life. And I can see really on reflection, it probably didn't belong in the ADHD Mums podcast. It really was unrelated. And what that did really, I think, was the audience probably just wanted the practical solutions and I'm delivering DV content, which on reflection, I can see was a mistake. I also really felt like it would have been shared more widely. I thought some of those big DV organizations were going to grab a hold of some of those episodes and share them. There was no financial gain. There was nothing that I was expecting to get from it except for exposure and awareness. And, you know, for women like me who are not seeing the red flags in their friends, why and how and what should we do? And it was disappointing and it was my first real taste of that nobody would really share the content, that people that I thought, charities that I thought would share it without kind of question or would have a listen, go, that works, and then share it didn't. And that was my first real taste of like, because I'm not a massive social media person. It's not a natural area that I'm really comfortable in. I didn't even know how to use Instagram until I think it was a year ago. How embarrassing. So I had that real taste of, oh, this isn't, nobody's really sharing this. And the community, the ADHD mum community, were really supportive. And I did get some beautiful emails of people that were heavily impacted by the episodes. But it honestly didn't work the way that I thought it was going to work. If you want to go back, this DV miniseries was released in October, November 2024. You can see, because in all the episodes it says miniseries very, very clearly. I also had my first taste, and being autistic and ADHD, I believe I'm a very authentic person. If you see me at the supermarket, I'm very similar to what I am online, probably a little bit more awkward, but I think it was probably my first taste in season two of me being in that top 10 mental health podcast, moving up into top five, top two in that podcast network. And I actually had my first taste of being passed over as a guest by influencers or new podcasts or podcasts that would go around in that network, interview each other. And then I would ask, can we go on each other's shows or what can we do together? And then getting passed over. I really struggled with this because I'm very much a perfectionist with content. I believe I'm highly, highly trained. I've done all of the courses that psychiatrists, pediatricians do. I believe I'm very, very good with diagnosis and assessment. So when I hear other podcasts getting a little bit confused with traits, for example, someone calling a PTSD trait an ADHD trait, and people getting jumbled because I don't know the area well enough, I have found that hard. And me being the autistic person that I am, I really want to like reach out and actually help. Like I actually just, even behind the scenes, I don't need it to be public, but I actually want to help. And a few times I've had my finger on the emails of a few places and I'm like, I really want to email them and let them know that that's actually incorrect. And I'm like, oh, I think that's really socially unaware. But I believe in my heart of heart that people really deserve the right information. So it's been really tricky because it's my first taste in season two of, you know, that there's a cool club and I'm not a part of it. But then I also have wondered, when have I ever been a part of the cool club? Never. So that was a really interesting situation because I did find myself feeling quite hurt. However, being a part of the cool club or feeling left out has never been a new feeling. So I've always run my own race. I've always been my own person, ignored what everyone else was doing. So I've just come back to that's okay. I went to two award ceremonies in 2024. And I tell you what, it was the first time that I realized that there was a cool club there too. That really hurt because it took me a lot of time and energy, and I had to have time away from my children, which was really difficult and really tricky logistically to get down there. And I don't mind not winning. I absolutely have no issue with not winning. But when I lost to people that had a very short mini series, or it was unrelated, or, you know, it was, let's say, for example, it was sponsored by a podcast network that person is a part of, I had a bit of a taste of the industry and what it's really like behind the scenes. And it was tricky to navigate. And I'm sure I navigated it by offending a lot of people. Like, I'm sure that I did. And throughout that process, it made me really question whether I wanted to be in this space or not. Because when I started ADHD Mums, there was no Australian ADHD podcast, like none. And there was absolutely nothing ADHD mum related. Hands down, the reason I started it was because I was sick of listening to Americans with unrelated health systems, UK unrelated health systems, and people talking about things that I didn't really quite understand, or the medical system was different, or different culture. And I wanted to see myself in someone's story, which is why I started the podcast. And I really didn't tell any friends and family about it at all until it was already so big. So I don't even think I've put this podcast on my personal Facebook or anything. I haven't even told. There are so many people in my family that have absolutely no idea I do this podcast. I've been on family holidays. I just like pretend I don't even do it. So when it was shared and shared and shared in the Facebook groups, and it started to grow and people found out about it and it was successful, that was kind of when personal people that I knew found out about it. So when there's been other people come into the space, it's made me think, well, I only was in this space because no one else was doing it. But people are doing it now. So do I need to be here, and do I want to be here? Do I fit into this network? Do I fit in to this group? And it's only been through the support of the community, actually, that I've actually continued on. Because there's so many times I've woken up and thought, I'm exhausted, and is it worth it? And, you know, there's other podcasts, like, I don't need to be here because it's never been about me. However, I really do believe in people's right to correct information. And it's been the community that's kept me here. And so thank you so much for all of the support. I think the feeling of belonging doesn't always have to be physical. It became really clear to me physically when I was at some of those events that I didn't fit in. So I really have found myself feeling like the belongingness comes into this community. And so if you're not in the Facebook group, if you're not in that community, I really, really encourage you to do that. There are chats with local meetups happening all the time. So please go into the chats, into your local community, and meet up with some people physically, or just connect with people online. Some of the other lows to the season have been really with some of those medication changes. So for example, the medication shortage, when Vyvanse went into shortage in season two, I launched a massive petition. I petitioned the government. I did a 10,000 people strong change petition. I did so much exposure, media, all of this, and it went nowhere. It felt like it was ignored, or I got a generic response from the government and it didn't really go anywhere. And I found that really difficult, because whilst there's a lot of unpaid advocates in this neurodiversity space, there are people that are paid, i.e. the government, that are not, in my mind, doing enough. Where is the long-term plan for medication? Where is the care? Where is the response? Who's running this show? How have we gone into the second year of medication shortages in Australia? And why aren't we beginning to make some of this stuff here? So that was really tricky. I think the NDIS changes that happened in October 2024 really, I found, was a real low. And I really had to reshape all of my messaging around that. I had some really great NDIS kits, which I'd now just give away for free on the website, because some of the changes within the NDIS have been really tricky. And if you'd like to know more about some of those changes, please go into the show notes. You'll see that there's some NDIS episodes there which talk about that. So because we know that there is less people getting accepted onto the NDIS, and if you are getting reassessed, only 50% of those people who are already on the NDIS who are getting reassessed are then getting back on. So we know that they are actively removing as many people as they can, particularly autistic children are the ones that are really getting hit the hardest, it looks like, at this point. Again, have a look in the show notes. You can see that in the NDIS episode. So I had to change a lot of my content and messaging around that, because I was really strong on get diagnosed, particularly if you have autism at play as an adult, a mum, a child, you can get support. This is what you can get. This is the therapies. This is the early intervention. This is the supports you'll get. This is going to be great. And I would be actively encouraging people. I've had a number of people who I've been encouraging for years who we waited through the public system to get assessed at level two autism, be really excited, and then come to me in like November. And I have to say to them, hey, I think your chances of getting on are pretty low. This is what I would do. Here's my help. Obviously, please have a go. However, you know, all of the things that I've been telling you the last 2 years, yeah, it's not as good now. Sorry about that. So that's been really tricky on one hand, because that help, that therapy, that support, the fact that all of those appointments are really expensive and barely anything is bulk billed these days for psychology and speech, etc. But on the flip side, if I've really kind of stepped back and tried to think positively about it, I also think there's been some positives with the changes, because instead of having to find this great ped, this great psychiatrist to uncover your heavily internalizing autistic child, or you actually can really do that at home. So a self-diagnosis is really important for autism. And if you are thinking you're probably not going to be getting onto the NDIS with the criteria, there's probably less incentive to do clinical psychologist assessment for autism and ADHD which before it was like $3,000 to get, let's say, for example, $30,000 in supports across therapies, et cetera. So like, that's great, because if you're pretty confident, you'll get level two. So from that, I really think there's some power in a self-assessment. And I think we're no longer having to wait for professionals to tell us what we know as people. There's so many teenagers who identify as autistic, and it changes their life. So the only good thing I can find about it is that we no longer have to wait for professionals to tell our child or ourselves what we already know, and to assess us and put ourselves and our children through that with that big expense. However, there is less support available, and that's also one of the reasons why I'm going to move in season three into more of those practical strategies. What can you do at home? Because if you are self-identifying or self-diagnosing as autistic, that's great. There's so many things you can do. It is a difference of your brain. It's a way of looking at yourself and setting up your life. So instead of having to wait to be validated by another professional who may or may not give you that neuroaffirming assessment and that belief and that validation you've been looking for, you can give yourself that. And later this year, there will be a self-assessment autism course that is going to come out. So that is, I really hope, is going to be life-changing for so many women who can self-diagnose without having to do the $3,000 assessment, even though the changes to the NDIS were an absolute low for me in 2024. I am going to put into the show notes the most downloaded episodes of season two. If you'd like to check that out, they are so popular and I'm so proud of them. I won't go through which ones they are, but please jump on and have a look at the most downloaded top 10 episodes in season two. Now, in terms of feedback, what I really loved about season two was I did a lot of feedback, and even particularly with the most downloadable episodes, it really showed me where the pain points are. Where are women really needing, wanting to know the answers? Where are they sharing the episodes, and how many people are listening to the episodes all the way through? And so I've taken that information and really had a look at season three. And next week's episode is going to be about season three and what we are doing differently and better for next season. So what we've really learned this season, if I had to put season two into 4 points, this is what I would do. I would say ADHD isn't just one condition. I think it's a real nervous system profile in a world that doesn't really accommodate for that profile. Two, I think medication is a tool. It's not a cure, and ADHD isn't a villain that we need to kind of track down and like get rid of. And I think tracking outcomes of medication and making changes is really important, to use medication as a tool to get the changes that we want to make by making the changes through strategies. Number three, masking isn't survival. It's like a loop and it burns us out, and we need to find ways to build our life around our brain. Number four, we don't need more awareness. I'm really, really over awareness. The World Autism Day, I said, I don't want to really hear about awareness. Neurodiversity Week, I just don't want to hear about awareness. We need functional support. We need a real community, and we need a different system. I'm so sick of hearing that the system is not built for us. Yeah, no shit. How many times have we talked about that? Of course it's not built for us, but I'm so sick of just saying it. Like, I just don't want to see anything else about this is what neurodiversity is. Be aware of it. The system's not built for us. Okay, at some point, we've got to move on from that as a community, as our society. That's not good enough anymore. When are we moving on? Because what I want to do is us as neurodiverse women, as mums who are absolutely the action takers, we are the people that hold everything together despite the odds, despite everything, despite our challenges. Who holds Christmas? Who holds Easter? Who does it all? Us. We can make changes here. So I want the system to change. I don't want to hear about how the system doesn't work for us. I want to hear, and I want to understand, and I want to show everybody around us what we can do. What can we do to change the system? And why isn't it made for us? And where is the problem points, and how can we make the changes? And then government, let's put some money into these systems. For example, school. That would be a great place to start. I also want to talk about the listener reflections, and I got some amazing emails, DMs, Facebook shares in the community that I just want to touch on real quick. The first one is this woman called Maria sent me an email and said, I finally understood that my daughter's shutdowns were shutdowns after your episode on masking. It totally changed how I parent and how I forgive myself, thank you. I got so many emails about the PMDD episode. That's going to be in the show notes as well. I got a couple of emails of people that said, no one has ever described rage and collapse like that before. I felt seen for the first time. There were so many great listener reflections. If you'd love to hear more, see more about that, please jump into the Facebook group. It is just full of them. So I thank you so much for showing up for season two. Thank you for showing up for the episodes, for yourself, for your kids. And thank you for all the feedback and all the downloads, all the shares. And there's so many people in the Facebook groups that drop in my episode links that recommend me. And I so appreciate it because a lot of women say, I wish I had heard about ADHD mums earlier. If that's you, please share my information to a friend in some of the other Facebook groups. Let people know that we exist. It really helps me out. I really appreciate it. And through it all, in season three, I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to be talking in your ears while you clean the kitchen, while you cry in the car, while you wait at another specialist referral appointment, because this isn't just a brand. This is a community and you're the reason that it matters. And this isn't about me. This is about us. And continuing the pressure onto the government is going to make change and it is going to improve the research, the health outcomes, and the amount of money that goes into women's health. You matter, and thank you so much for your support this season. The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.